And welcome to episode 40 of Could It Be Podcast and our final podcast episode for 2023. Today I am joined by Charlotte from Canberra, which is the capital here in Australia. So I see Charlotte as a big advocate for breast implant illness here in Australia. When I was looking for podcast episodes in the lead up to my surgery, I actually ran into an episode that Charlotte featured on her husband's podcast called What's Doing. And she actually gave me hope that explanting was the right decision for me to make. So big thank you to Charlotte for sharing her story back then. She has been in the media recently here in Australia. We've had some changes come into the guidelines around cosmetic surgery in Australia, and she was on a panel as a consumer of cosmetic surgery and of breast implants and discussed her experience with them. She's also featured on The Project here in Australia, which is a TV show that we have on our free-to-air TV stations during the week. Yeah, spreading the awareness for breast implant illness, which is, as we know, so important at the moment. So because this is the final episode for 2023, I would like to take this opportunity to wish you a very safe and happy Christmas. Thank you for all of your support, for any of the messages you've sent throughout the year, and for listening to the podcast. I'll be taking a couple of weeks off of releasing episodes in the new year. However, we do have some episodes in the pipeline ready to release once I'm back. It will only be a couple of weeks break, so never fear, I won't be far away. Take care of yourselves and I will see you in 2024. Welcome to the podcast, Charlotte. How are you today?
Hello, Bianca. I'm going well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Now, Charlotte, I have listened to a podcast that you were on a little while ago, so you're a seasoned podcaster now, really. Do you want to start by telling us about your initial reason for getting breast implants?
Yeah, absolutely. So if we go back in time a little bit, so I got my implants done in 2015. So I was only 19 years of age then, so I was quite young. Back then, the reason that I wanted to have cosmetic surgery was I just wanted to enhance the way that I looked. So I wasn't really happy with what I had. So I decided to have a breast augmentation. For me at the time as well, I guess looking back on the experience, a lot of my friends were going under the knife as well. So I had a lot of, I guess, not peer pressure, but, you know, had other friends doing it. So I thought, why not? Let's do this. So for me, I had my breast augmentation. Basically what happened in the surgery all went really well, no hiccups or anything. And at the time I decided to have my implants done under the muscle. The biggest thing I wanted out of the surgery was for them to look natural, not too fake, obviously not too big. So I got that result in the end and that was fine. And then, yeah, so it was pretty much just purely cosmetic reasons that I wanted to have the breast implants. And yeah, got them done back in October 2015. And yeah, that's where we were currently then. Yep.
Yeah, so we were the same age when we had our implants. I was 19 as well when I started the process. I was a month shy of my 20th birthday because I actually had tissue expanders first. I didn't have the shape there and then had the implants done. Yeah, a month before I turned 20. So it's such a tender age to be making that decision and to be, I guess, like easily influenced by what's going on around you and to feel like, oh, I'm not quite enough. Like I need to do something to look and feel normal here. And I do normal in quotation marks when I say that.
Yeah, it's quite a young age to make quite a life altering decision. And, you know, something that you'll live with for the rest of your youth. And we'll talk about it a little bit later. But yeah, it was, I don't know, it was quite a young age to make that kind of decision in looking back on the experience.
Yeah. Did you go for like a teardrop shaped breast implant as well?
Yeah, yes, I did actually. They obviously look a little bit more natural, and just how my natural breasts were, it kind of worked a bit better. I did go with a teardrop shaped implant. It was just like a textured kind of implant as well. So in my consultation, the surgeon actually did show me the implant that we'd be using and the texture. It was a bit of a bizarre experience at 19 years of age. It was a very fast consultation. It was really sold to me as well. I think that had to do with age and some insecurities, but essentially just to prove how strong and durable they were, the surgeon grabbed the implant and slammed it into the door of the surgery just to show me how like indestructible these things were. And I remember sitting there being like, oh my gosh, okay, that was a little strange, but you know, I'm still going to go ahead and go ahead with the surgery. So yeah, that was a bit weird. And looking back on that experience, I was like, okay, I trust you that they're very strong. But it was just to show that, you know, they can't split in half, or if they did leak, they wouldn't, you know, ooze out, because it's more of a gel consistency of the implant that they used. So yeah, it was just very strange.
That is weird. And you do see these videos circulating on the internet of people driving over breast implants. That's not a normal situation. Neither of those are normal situations for breast implants to be in. Show me what it looks like and how it degrades when it's in a body, like at body temperature. That's what we need to be seeing, right?
Yeah, yeah. It would be good if they did introduce that, because that's definitely something that's interesting. And then when you go down the road of explanting, and if your surgeon obviously takes photos or you get the devices back, that's also interesting to see how the implant deteriorates or ages in the body. So yeah, it'd probably be good if they started to show patients those kind of things.
Definitely. And over a period of time as well, like you said, we're with them for life in a way, not the same pair of implants that you get, but some people are told that unfortunately they're lifetime devices, but we're signing up for a surgery every 10 to 15 years if we keep them. Mm-hmm. What are they going to look like, feel like in 10 to 15 years sitting in a body?
That's right. But, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So what were your breast implant illness symptoms, and how did you sort of come to finding out about breast implant illness as a condition?
So it took me a really long time to put my finger on it, to be like, that's what's been wrong with me for a while. It's going to sound funny, but I initially thought it was just age. I was just getting older. I was just getting more tired. So I didn't really think it could be anything associated with the breast implants. So the first introduction I had to breast implant illness was ironically on the project. I remember watching a segment a few years ago, and this woman was talking about her experiences with breast implants and how she had them removed. And, you know, being a little naive, I watched the show and was like, oh yeah, I guess I can see how that can happen. Little did I know at the time, obviously I was experiencing those things and just didn't really put two and two together. But I remember in the project segment, they touched on a Facebook group, which was like a group where women in Australia and I think in the United States were connecting and sharing their experiences. So after that kind of digested a little bit, I then went onto Facebook and I joined this group, and I started scrolling through all of the posts on social media, and I was like, oh dear, that is me. Like, whoever wrote that sounds exactly like what I've been going through. So it was a real light bulb moment for me. But the first symptom that I had was maybe about a year and a half after having the implants inserted. I had this viral rash breakout on my chest, and it just looked like these little clear bumps with a little bit of redness. And it pretty much, over the course of 2 days, spread from my chest up to my ears, on my ears, down my back. It was pretty nasty looking. So at the time I went to my GP and they're like, oh, you're probably having a reaction to something, or, you know, you've been exposed to something and you're having a bit of a rash breakout. I'll give you some steroids, we'll calm it down. So that was all good and fine, and it did go away with the steroids I was taking. But this rash I would have reoccurring nearly up to the week that I explanted as well. I would just break out in this rash. It was itchy. It was red. It just looked horrible. And it was always starting on the breast region. So for me, that was the first symptom. Over the course of having breast implants, I did start to journal and write down all the things that I was experiencing, because as you know, with breast implant illness, the symptoms are so different to one another. They're really
hard diverse.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's the word, diverse. Yeah. So I started to kind of write everything down. And before I explanted, I think I had around 30 symptoms, of breastfeeding pain illness. So for me, that was a clear indication of, let's do something proactive about this. I can't keep, living my life unwell and sick. So yeah, that was kind of the start of the journey to explant.
So going from sort of finding out and making that decision, talk us through what process you went through to get your referral to a surgeon, to choose a surgeon and going through the actual surgery.
That was quite difficult from the perspective of awareness of breast implant illness. When we talk about general practitioners, I went to maybe 3 GPs before I found one that actually wanted to do something about my case. It was, maybe your thyroid's playing up, or let's do a series of tests. So I had like nearly every test under the sun done, and it wasn't really, the results weren't really showing anything. I finally found a GP who would actually write me a referral. But what I thought I would do as well, I did go back to the original surgeon that I had at 19 years of age for my breast augmentation surgery. Now, being a part of that Facebook group as well, I did know that the breast implants I had were actually recalled a couple of years ago. And I had no idea that they were recalled. So,
same.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me that you've got something in your body and you don't even know that it's been recalled by, like, I think it was the FDA, which is like the United States.
TGA, yeah.
And then TGA is the Australian one. So both parties were well and truly aware of the devices being faulty. And I think it was associated possibly with the possible risk of a lymphoid cancer or something to that effect. So recalled. Yeah. So I remember reading that on the list. And luckily after my implants, I got an implant card which showed all of the serial numbers and the details. So I had to do a bit of self-research to see, were these affected by the recall? And the serial number was, and it matched. I was like, okay, this is all a bit freaky and I didn't know any of this. So I went back to the surgeon that I had the implants done and I said, look, I have concerns that the implants I have in my body that I got a few years ago have been recalled. What are my options? My options weren't amazing. Basically, it was like, oh, yes, we understand the concern with those implants. We can essentially reimburse you and we can perform a new surgery using new implants. And at that time, I was like, well, I don't want new implants. I want them completely removed. That's not even an option. And they kind of were not understanding of that. And I think looking back potentially to them, they were losing like a customer, right? They kind of dismissed the case. And I just knew that I had to find a new surgeon and a surgeon that particularly had heard about breast implant illness, because when I mentioned it to the current surgeon, it was like, yeah, I've heard of that, but it doesn't really exist. I don't believe in it, sort of attitude and mentality, which is so damaging to someone going through all of that. The last thing you want to do have is to be dismissed, right?
Yeah.
So, So I then went on a search to find a surgeon that could perform this and obviously believed in breast implant illness. Again, I used the Facebook group, which was the Australian one, and I just put a calling out to say, hey, does anyone have any recommendations for a surgeon that can perform an explant and a full explant, so removal of the implants and the capsules around the breast as well, which I'll talk about a little bit later. And someone referred me to someone in Sydney called Dr. Deva or Professor Deva. Again, very thankful for that forum for the suggestions, because I wouldn't have found him, I guess, on my own. And I decided to go with Professor Deva for my explant, and it was honestly one of the best things I've done. But it was just such a long journey to get there, to find the right person. But yeah, that's how I got there essentially in the end.
Yeah. So timeline wise, first of all, how long did you have your breast implants for? And then how long was it before you sort of, like, from looking in the groups who were actually having the explant, how long did you wait between that?
At the time, it was about 6.5 years that I ended up having them. Mm-hmm. And then I explanted in February 2022. For me, it was probably about 5 months worth of research that I then kind of connected the dots, obviously tried to get things in motion and in place, times of surgery and things. So there was a period of time that, well, it was probably 5 or 6 months actually, that I had to wait to have the surgery, and I knew that I wanted to proceed with it. And those 5 or 6 months are probably the hardest months that I've gone through, mentally, physically, just a shell of a person. You have that light at the end of the tunnel, knowing, okay, in in February, I'm going to explant, but the lead up to that, it's the sickest I've ever been. And with the chronic fatigue, like I just was so exhausted all the time. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to do anything. So it felt like it took a really long time to get there. But once it was over, like it was the best decision ever. I'm just so happy and grateful for explanting.
Yeah, yeah. That wait between knowing that you've got your surgery date and the actual surgery date can feel so long. And I know, but my body experiences this when I've, you know, I've had something funny going on and I'm not quite sure what it is. And then between finding out what it is and having that surgery, it's almost like my body lets me actually feel it because I'm too busy trying to like put it aside. No, there's nothing wrong. Like I've had it in the past with ovarian cysts. So it's like, oh, bit of a pain here and there. And then when I have a scan and that comes back to say, yes, there's definitely something there. It's like, I can actually feel it now. So I felt the same when it came to explanting. It's like once I really found out about it and went through those groups and saw like the validation of the fact that those symptoms that I'd been experiencing were real and I knew what the reason was now. That wait, like it wasn't as long for me, but it was still too long. Because you just let your body feel it then. It's like, yeah, it's absolutely a thing.
And it's such like an alone and isolating time because I think for me, a lot of my friends, family, and even my husband had no idea that this existed. And you're kind of telling them like, most of the stuff you have is, you know, obviously internally happening. So it's kind of hard to show or prove. So I just felt really alone. But like having those groups and reading other people's stories, I'm like, no, I'm definitely on the right track. I'm definitely onto something. But I think sometimes you know your body best. And for me, thinking back, what did I feel like around 18, early 19 years of age compared to, you know, what I currently now feel like with breast implants? I was like, this is not normal. Like I should not be this young, this fatigued, this sore, tired, all of those things. It's quite a experience to go through. But I think, yeah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel and you just got to kind of be proactive. Like it's not the best situation to be in. And you do feel a lot of guilt because you've put yourself through this, obviously. But, you know, it's nothing that you can't correct or fix. So I think that's the other important message too for people out there. If you've got implants and you're feeling unwell, don't be alarmed. There are things that you can do to make you feel better and make some proactive decisions that can ultimately change your life. So
when it came to the lead up to explanting, what kind of things did you do? Did you purchase to help you prepare for your surgery?
I was a little concerned because where I live, I couldn't find anyone locally to do it. So I had to travel about 3 hours. So I knew the car ride home would be a little intense. Anyone that's obviously had it, breast implants done, the car ride home, which back then was a 20-minute drive, I was just in pure agony. Like it was horrific. So I had this expectation that I was going to be very sore afterwards. But in matter of fact, actually explanting didn't hurt as much as implanting. So that's something, I don't know, for me that I experienced. I was just very mindful that I had to travel. So I thought, what could make this trip and this experience a little bit better? When we left the hospital the day after, because I had an overnight stay, being in the car and obviously having to wear a seatbelt, that's a bit of pressure on your chest. And it's obviously quite tender from explanting. So I packed a pillow and I just put a pillow over the top of the seatbelt. And that was amazing. That helped so much. Obviously, the car ride too, I made sure that I had, if I was nauseous, had something that I could be sick in and those kinds of things. Also, immediately after the surgery, I did purchase, it's like a pillow that has kind of arms and it's propped up a little bit. So it allows you to sleep upright and supports you from sitting up. So I think that was really good. And that was a really good purchase that I used the first week and a half, because it's very hard, as you know, to get up and down, and sometimes it's better to kind of try to sleep sitting upright. So that was another pillar that I kind of purchased. But yeah, that was probably the key things. I don't think I prepared too much else for other things, except, you know, before we left, making sure things were in check at home, so there was less things to do around the house, and just so, you know, everything when I came home was already done. And, you know, it does help if you do have someone living with you to help you, you know, get up out of bed and those things. If you can have that support, that whether it be a partner or a friend, I think that's also really important, especially in the first week of explanting. Yeah, so probably those things.
What was your recovery like from explanting, and how sort of soon did you see your symptoms start to improve?
Yeah, so it was interesting. So almost as soon as I came out of the surgery and I was awake for the first time, having them removed, I just felt lighter. I just didn't feel, it's a very weird feeling. I don't know. You just feel light and you feel like it literally felt like a weight off my shoulders. And I was like, oh, as much as I am obviously really groggy right now, I feel really good. And yeah, the pain that I had pain particularly in one of my breasts. And that was also another reason why I explanted, because it was just constantly sore. I'd work out, it just felt like there was tension and a sharp pain running through my chest. So it wasn't until they actually did the explant that they could see. So when you've got an implant, the body's obviously normal reaction is to form a capsule, which is like a skin tissue around it. And what had happened on my left side was the capsule, because they were under the muscle, had formed and joined onto my rib cage. So yeah, there was a lot of tension constantly pulling over time. So when I obviously explanted, I didn't know any of this, because you don't really, you can't see that through any imaging or scanning. The surgeon did tell me post operation that this was the case. Therefore, he had to kind of, you know, work a little bit harder kind of to detach the implant and the capsule away from my rib cage. So I definitely was more sore on one side. And that's just something to not be scared of, but to expect going into surgery, because you can't, you don't really know what your body's doing internally. I was quite sore from that, but that was okay. I just, as soon as I woke up, that tension was gone. It didn't hurt anymore. About maybe about a week after I explanted, that's usually when you're still kind of on bed rest. I remember sitting there and just thinking, oh my gosh, I feel like I could just get up and run a marathon. Like, I just felt so well and so well rested, and just, yeah, I can't believe how much energy I gained back. And then obviously as the weeks proceeded, like that 4 week mark, oh, it was just spectacular how much energy. I didn't feel fatigue anymore. You know, my mind was more clear. I looked well. Like, I just, yeah. And people even said when they came to visit me around like that 4 week mark, like, wow, you look really good. Like your face is not as swollen. You know, your whites in your eyes are clearer. Like, just really little things. So yeah. And then probably a little bit after that, when I got the clearance to return back to exercise, that for me was the turning point. I just felt like I could breathe. I was not restricted anymore. I'd do a workout and, you know, either before the workout, I wouldn't feel tired, or even after the workout, I felt like fantastic. Measuring those kind of two circumstances was really the indication for me, yeah, I've made the right decision. It obviously takes time to gradually get rid of the symptoms, and, you know, sometimes people are lucky enough to have them completely go away, which was in my case. So it probably took a good year of healing to kind of get over all of the symptoms I had, but they were the immediate things that I truly noticed.
Yeah. It's really important that you highlight that it doesn't necessarily clear up 100% straight away. There are people that do mention that, and like, I'm, you know, I'm really hoping that's the case for them, but for so many of us, for me, it was about a year at least. And I'm probably still on that like journey a little bit now, but it was around the 9 month mark where it felt like everything was coming back, and I went to see a naturopath to properly clear out the crap that was in my body and started to feel a heck of a lot better. But yeah, it's not always the case that you're going to feel amazing straight away. There'll be a noticeable improvement, like you said, the energy that you had, and it's really hard not to do that marathon that you feel like you've got the energy for, because you're so used to feeling really tired and sore and fatigued and not being able to do things. It's like, oh, I can do it now, like I feel like I can. But your body's still, it's recovering from the surgery, it's also recovering from, like, general anesthetic is pretty harsh on the body, so you've got to really like take it easy. So yeah, like really, really important to mention that. Some people that I've spoken to suffer from insomnia after explanting because they've got too much energy and they can't go to sleep.
It's a nice problem to have.
Yeah, that's it. It's just gone the other way. So was there any kind of testing that Professor David did on the capsule and the implants after your surgery?
Yes. Before that as well, I was asked to be a part of the breast implant illness survey. So that's really good. He's been doing that and trying to get some, you know, foundational information from women who have explanted, implanted and kind of collecting that data. So that also helped me track my symptoms. But yes, actually, so when I explanted, the breast implants themselves were taken away with the capsules, so the skin tissue, for a biopsy. So we just wanted to see if anything obviously came up in those results. And I wasn't really expecting anything. About a week later, the results came back, and I think it was found in the capsule and the little bit of residue actually on the breast implant itself. Dr. Diva did show me some photos as well. He was, after the surgery, it's something that he does so the patient can see, okay, the implants are out of my body, the capsules are out of my body. And that was really cool to see and really reassuring that they were gone. But you could tell in the picture there was this kind of like oozy slime looking residue on the breast implant. So the biopsy came back, and it came back with some results that I had a staph infection. And the staph infection was like a hospital grade staph infection. So we don't know why that happened or how it happened, if when they were implanted, there was something contaminated on the breast implant. But, you know, it could really indicate and worsen symptoms, is what Professor Diva was saying. So that was quite interesting too. So I do recommend to people, if you have the option to get things biopsied post-explant, that you definitely take that up, because it's quite interesting what the results can return back. For me as well, just to kind of get over that staph infection and to make sure it was no longer in my body, I just went on a course of short antibiotics, and that was fine. I don't know if you ever need to check it in the past or in the future. I'm not too sure. That wasn't really disclosed. But yeah, I thought that was quite interesting that they were contaminated essentially and had something on there. So
yeah. Could Professor Davis say how long that was potentially there for?
He wasn't too sure, but Okay. Given the kind of staph grade infection, he was pretty certain it was nearly immediately when they were implanted back in 2015 that I would have contracted that, because it's like a hospital grade staph infection. So yeah, you probably wouldn't get that just randomly going about your day.
Far out. I didn't know this until I had spoken to another, like Lauren, who's been on the podcast. She's from Western Australia, and they actually sit your implants in a solution for a certain amount of time before you have them in to take any kind of contaminants away. So, you know, whether something happened there, but that sort of makes me question how you might have heard of a few people going in for the surgery expecting to have a certain size of implant put in, and they wake up with a bigger set in there. Like, was that set just sitting in the box and they pulled them out the box? They haven't been through that solution, so now they're not like properly covered in who knows what. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't know these things, and they're not the things that are usually like shared with you, you know, by the surgeon, or what the procedure is for those medical and safety standards and things like that. So you'd have no idea.
No, that's it. Like, and 6.5 years living with an infection, like you're like, you know, you went through some horrible things, but you're lucky that it wasn't worse, I guess, because.
Absolutely. And yeah, I do think sometimes is that why I had over 30 symptoms? Like, is that potentially that infection was causing, you know, a worse result to breast implant illness and things. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, far out. You've recently been on the media a little bit. So what I thought I'd bring up first was, like I've seen the interviews that you've done, and there was a photo that was on an article from a little while ago, which triggered a memory that I've actually listened to the podcast episode that you were on. And looking back at the date that that was published, it was just before my explant was. So I'm pretty sure I was listening to your episode, like, in the lead up, you know, the few weeks lead up to my explant surgery, and it gave me hope. So thank you for doing that. But do you want to talk to us first about the podcast episode, how that kind of came about?
Absolutely. So I think for me, you know, you can dwell on this experience as quite a negative thing to go through. And for me, I'm always quite optimistic and quite positive. So I was like, how can I make this situation, you know, something good? And for me, the biggest thing is I just want to make sure other people, you know, have informed decisions and can kind of learn from the experience that I had to go through. So maybe they don't need to go through it, or if they're going through it, it can help them. So it's so lovely to hear that, you know, you listened to the podcast and it probably helped you get into the right mind frame for explant. Because around the time of when I decided to explant, I couldn't really find many online like podcasts and things. So there was definitely a little bit of a gap there. Yeah, so very funny. Coincidingly, my husband and two of his best friends were doing a podcast at the time. Now, this podcast was basically just about general life topics, and they had a lot of different guests on there talking about different things. So for me, I was the first female guest on their podcast, which was pretty cool. And I think it was a really good experience actually talking to three guys about this, because it really opened up their eyes. They obviously knew a little bit about what breast implants were, but then also one of them, or two of them, were school teachers, you know, teaching young children how to love their body, body image, and that kind of stuff really segued nicely. So it was really refreshing to talk to them about the experience too, because they had really no idea about breast implant illness and how severe it can be. Yeah, I just decided to jump on the podcast. I felt quite comfortable because they're all friends of mine anyway. So it was just like having a normal conversation. And yeah, and that episode did really well. There was a lot of downloads, and, you know, through my own social media, I did share it, because when I did share my story on my own personal social media, it was a tough decision to make, because it's a very private thing to go through. I just wanted to create that exposure so people could kind of learn from what I went through. But I was very surprised about how many people that I knew reached out to me and asked for support, and whether that be they have implants and they're a bit concerned, or they were thinking about going down the implant path. So it definitely started the conversation. And I think where we are now in terms of breast implant illness, it's definitely more spoken about, and there's a lot more people coming forward and using their social media platforms to kind of engage in those things. So yeah, it was a really positive experience being on the podcast, and I think it's a good avenue too, because you can really talk about it more so than an interview that you might do with like a media company or something. I think a podcast is a perfect way to cover off all things breast implant illness related.
Yeah, definitely. I've never been I've never done a media interview, but from what I've heard of other people, like, you get a couple of minutes and that's it. And that's not a lot of time to get your actual point across. Like, you've got to really plan exactly what you're going to say. As with a podcast, you've got all the time in the world to sort of talk it through. And yeah. So on the topic of media, in the last couple of weeks, you've become a little bit of a breast implant illness celebrity. Do you want to talk to us about the couple of things you've done recently?
Yeah, so it all came about due to the cosmetic guidelines and standards being amended. So they have existed. They're only new, which is kind of scary. You think that these standards should have been in place. But for you and I, that implanted quite a long time ago, this didn't exist. So it's definitely a step forward, and it's something really good to see in the reform space. Initially, I was asked through Professor Deva and kind of those connections if they had any patients willing to talk about their experience as a consumer. So for them, a consumer of breast implants, because these standards cover all kinds of cosmetic surgeries. So, you know, other things, not just breast implants. So I was like, okay, maybe that's the next step for me, is to talk a little bit more openly about this. So that was a really good experience. I also was privileged enough to review some of the minor standards, like the actual patient information packs that they'd give out. So that was really cool to kind of sit there and go, okay, think back when you were 19, having a consultation, if someone gave you this piece of paper, would it make sense to you? Is there anything missing from that? So that was really good to be able to give my feedback on that. And from that, it kind of progressed into, we're going to obviously launch the standards, and there's a bit of media coverage around that. So they asked me to sit on a webinar panel. So on the panel, they had different guest speakers, so cosmetic surgeons, people from the agency who had published the standards, and then a consumer point of view, which is very important. So I did speak to those and just spoke a little bit about my experience and, you know, if these standards had been in place, maybe how it would have been different for me back then. And then from that as well, when obviously things like that are launched, there's sometimes media potential, or, you know, media wants to obviously jump on the story. So from that, it was a very quick turnaround. I had a couple of media outlets reach out for articles, and then also some TV segments to talk about my experience as well. Thankfully, most of them allowed me to talk about breast implant illness, because with the standards as well being in place, it kind of segues into that discussion. So the standards should be obviously given to patients to talk about the potential risks and complications. And we know with breast implants, that breast implant illness is now an associated risk, right? And it has to be disclosed. It's kind of giving patients that informed decision-making up front to think about this might happen to you. So if you do proceed, just know. Because at the end of the day, everyone's entitled to do what they want and to undergo cosmetic surgery. But they just need to make sure that it's the right thing for them. And these standards really help with that decision-making process. So yeah, that's kind of how that all came about quite quickly. And yeah, as I said, I'm not shy to talk about what I've gone through, and I just, you know, ultimately want other people to hear what I've gone through so they can make the right decision for themselves or know what could happen.
Going back to the fact that like we kind of, surgeons need to let consumers know about the risks of breast implant illness. Have you seen the wording around that? Because obviously we're still sort of working towards having it listed as a diagnosable condition. What kind of information do they give about BII specifically?
So the standards don't really go into that. It's more the surgeon would have to disclose any potential risks and complications. So again, it would be up to that surgeon to understand or know about breast implant illness. Obviously, you know, with standards, guidelines, even things like breast implant illness, there is always that thought, probably from some surgeons, that that's seen as red tape or, you know, you're taking money away from my business. So it's still kind of up in the air. And until I think breast implant illness is like a medically recognized condition, we probably won't see those changes for a while. So I think it does help, though, having, you know, other articles and things published on this and people sharing their story through social media to gain that traction so people can be a little bit more aware of it. Because it's, I think it's still, not all surgeons would probably technically disclose breast implant illness. But it's a step forward, right? Like you look back a couple of years, these things didn't even exist. So the standards also, I think, will determine from a patient's perspective, physical and mental health assessments. So that's really good too, from a physical point of view. Like, I don't know, if your health was not great, should you be doing having cosmetic surgery? But the one that I really like is the mental health perspective. You know, what are your motives for wanting surgery? You know, and those psychological kind of aspects, because I can tell you when you're young, you're sometimes vulnerable. And we statistically, I think most people that have cosmetic surgery are kind of more on the younger scale of things. So having those assessments in place will kind of weed out maybe who really is the best candidate for cosmetic surgery.
On the topic of that, there's been a guest on the podcast before, Cheyenne, who mentioned that if she spent the money that she had spent on breast implants on, you know, mindset or counseling or psychology sessions, then she probably wouldn't have gone through all of this, because she would have learned to accept herself exactly as she was, but and not need to go through that big physical transformation to try and gain that. Because we don't always end up, you know, people have that mindset of, I will feel better when. So it was like, I will feel better when I've got, in my case, normal size boobs, or I, you know, and sometimes we don't even get to that point. Like people were like, oh, I feel better when I lose weight, but they've got so much reliance on that feeling at that point, and then they don't get that change because they haven't changed their mindset. So yeah, if we can, you know, nip that in the bud and get people going, oh, actually, maybe this isn't for you, they might then go and see the right professional for them and start that work instead.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that was me at 19, like just very insecure, and I definitely was struggling with body image and confidence. And it was always like, if I do this, then when I have had that done, I will feel like that. And it just, I never got to that state of feeling fulfilled or feeling like happy with exactly what I looked like. And it's funny, like something that you truly, really wanted, you know, later down the track, before my explant, I was like, I just want these things gone. Like, I hate how big they are. I hate, you know, I should never have touched my body in the first place sort of feeling. So it's funny how you travel through those emotions. And for me, I think it was, yeah, like got to do with growing up and things. Like I just was like, I don't want to look like that anymore. What can I do to look more natural and more healthy and more just like me? So it's a really good point to actually touch on. And it's, yeah, the money side is scary. I think that's the saddest part about all this as well. It's not cheap to undergo cosmetic surgery. And I think a lot of people might put off explanting because of the money factor. And I know a lot of surgeons do charge more for that because I think there might be a bit of a misconception, and I'm not saying all surgeons, but they're potentially losing a returning customer. So, you know, every 10 years or whatever it is, you have to have your implants replaced, they're losing a potential sale. So, of course, to explant, they might up their prices. I found that a lot when I was trying to find suitable surgeons, and it was just overwhelming. I was like, oh, I've spent all this money, I now need to spend more. Should I even be doing this? And that financial kind of element comes into play, which it shouldn't, because it's your body, it's your health. You should be able to afford that. Yeah, so I think it's quite disgusting what some surgeons are charging for explant. You just got to find the right one that is not for an absurd amount of money.
Yeah, I don't understand why it can be so different from one surgeon to the next as well. Like, mine was relatively cheap in comparison to what I'm hearing. And my surgeon's a reconstructive surgeon, so she's potentially got a higher level of education than some others, and she's charging way less. And yeah, that's because, like, she cares about the patient and, you know, cares about the outcome. She was also, she wasn't 100% on the BII train, but she was also like, let's take them out and see how you feel. And if you don't feel any better, then look into what it is, and you can always get breast implants put back in. Like, that made me feel a lot better about my decision. Then it's like, oh, okay, like, cool, like, that's fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If there was anything that you could kind of go back and say to younger Charlotte, what would it be?
Yeah, it's a hard question. And, you know, I think about it more now as well, because I'm pregnant and expecting a girl and thinking about how, you know, I will raise her and all those kinds of things. So for me, going back to 19 years of age, I just sort of tried to have told myself, just love yourself for what you look like. You know, you're not going to validate anyone's opinions or anything by changing what you look like and your appearance. Don't touch, like, your body. Just love what you have. And a lot of people ask me, like, do you regret it? And I always say I don't, because I think I had to go through this journey to really find myself and find, you know, my happy place and know how to love my body. And it was obviously a very tough lesson that I learned, but I don't regret going through that. And you know, it's why I talk about it so openly, so other people can learn from my experiences or know if they go down this road, this potentially could happen. So, yeah, it's been a lot of self-discovery over those last years, and especially explaining as well. I think there's always this misconception of, like, oh, what am I going to look like without my breast implants? Are my boobs going to look deformed, destroyed? Like, you just, your head goes to the worst place. And honestly, like, I'm so happy with what they look like. They look pretty much, for me, I'm quite lucky, they look exactly as they did before I implanted. And I just look at them and go, why did I bother touching them in the first place? I should have just left them alone. And I think the other thing too that people sometimes can be a little bit scared about is, like, the scarring and, you know, what they can look like afterwards. But honestly, your health, whether that be your physical and your mental health, is far more important than looking a certain way. So, you know, don't be afraid to take the proactive decision to explant. And, you know, if it makes you feel better, like, give it a shot. What's the worst thing that could happen? So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the advice I'd give my younger self in a nutshell.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like, when you were sort of saying about, like, your health is way more important, my surgeon was telling me in the lead up to my surgery that, like, she actually said to me, your boobs are going to look scary and they're going to be very small. And I'm like, you know what? None of that really matters, as long as I can go for a walk without my legs cramping, you know, as long as I can get through a sentence without stopping halfway through and going, what was I saying? Like, you know, just that alone, or the hair loss to stop, like, to actually have that slow down would have been enough for me, like, enough of a reason to not have implants. Like, there's just these little things that you kind of, they're like trade-offs. Like, what's more important to you, your health or having big perky boobs?
Like, yeah, you get to a bit of a breaking point where you're like, ultimatum, health, looks. Yeah, and then I think that's also just another reason to explant, that mental clarity of, like, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I'm going to try what I can to fix that and help that. So, you know, yeah, it's definitely not a bad thing to be considering.
Are there any other kind of lifestyle, health, food, chemicals, any kind of changes like that that you've made since explanting? Because some of us can get into a bit of a rabbit warren about what's not good for us anymore. Was there any other kind of changes that you've made?
It definitely made me think twice about, you know, other things like Botox and those kinds of, and fillers, like those kinds of things, because it's kind of similar components. So it's made me think twice about, you know, going down the path of having those. But for me, after I explanted, I kind of made the conscious decision to, you know, eat well, exercise well. Now that I had like full control back, those things were easy. For me, it was just trying to be of the best way that I can. I haven't really cut out many things, but I definitely think twice about, you know, whether I'm consuming a product, like whether that be eating, applying it to my skin, those kinds of things too. I'm a little bit more self-aware about those things from having breast implants. So not a lot of things have changed for me, but I definitely think exercise is one of the things that I now really enjoy. I did back then when I did have my implants, but it was just like before I even started a workout, I was really exhausted. My muscle recovery was horrible. All of those things, feeling out of breath, and then now kind of being able to exercise freely and not have those constraints, it's really nice. So no, I think I've just kind of kept up with the healthy lifestyle I was trying to have with implants, which has made it so much easier now without those restrictions.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. Is there anything that you'd want people to know about having breast implants that we haven't covered? So like for me, it's like I couldn't lay on my stomach comfortably, or I have a massage, my boobs would get in the way. Is there anything like that that you kind of have advice for people?
Yeah, the stomach one is the same. I was a stomach sleeper and then quickly became a sleeper on the like on your back. So that changes the way that you sleep. I don't know. I think, you know, obviously, you know, you have to go through more clothing and more bras. That's something you need to consider too, because your chest is going to change in size. But also, yes, if you explant too, you just obviously that's something else that will change to the physical element. I don't know. I think, yeah, if you're going to go down the implant path, definitely explore your options of under or over the muscle, especially if you're active. For me, I'm quite lucky that I decided to go under the muscle. At the time, I didn't really do much exercise, but going forward with life, I did. And it was, as much as there still was pain, it definitely allowed me to do more things. And I wasn't too worried about them moving or, you know, doing things in high intensity workouts. So that's something to consider too, where you might have them inserted. Yeah, I think they're maybe like the key things that I remember that changed for me.
Can I ask you a question? So you've just triggered something. I've recently recorded an episode. I haven't released it yet, but it's like what we wish we knew before breast implants. And I go through the BII, the potential cancers, all the possible issues that you may run into, like fluid buildup and that kind of thing. But for me, I had my breast implants over the muscle, and running and high intensity, I had to double bra it. So was that the case for under the muscle, did you find?
They still were very heavy. I still had to wear like a very supportive bra, and even like, sorry, sports bra when working out, and then a supportive bra when just normal. Yeah, actually they were really heavy. Even though they were under the muscle, I still was concerned about them moving around. And you know, you hear all this time about like ruptures and things. I was just always constantly worried about that. Yeah. So yeah, I don't think it doesn't matter if you have them over or under. I think they still feel heavy.
Yeah.
And it definitely makes like working out now easier. Like, you know, when you do like a burpee or something, like you're not worried about your chest or, you know, worried about it kind of moving around the place. So I think that's just something else to consider too, the weight that you'll have. That actually reminds me of something else as well. I suffered from really sore lower back pain. So I didn't obviously, my implant size was maybe only two sizes larger than my actual size. So I didn't go that big in terms of the weight of the implants. But I think after the first year of having them, my posture really was terrible. And my lower back was just always sore, no matter what. And then it wasn't until I explanted and obviously started to get in the rhythm of exercising again that kind of just eased away. It just no longer was a problem. So I think that's another thing to consider too. You're putting weight on to your chest, so other areas like your back and your posture could be affected too, and just to be mindful of that.
Definitely. Do you know how many cc's your implants were?
I can't remember. Sorry.
That's all right.
No, I can't remember.
So I think mine were around 290 cc's, which I think translates into grams. So, like, ultimately I had 600 grams sitting on my chest that wasn't there before. That's a lot.
It is, yeah. And, like, it is actually a lot to kind of, to have sitting there. And I just remember that was the other feeling I felt too, like it just felt so light. And, yeah, when you actually weigh your implants, they are quite heavy. Like, it does make a difference.
Where can anyone that's wanting to sort of follow along or get in touch with you, where can they reach out to you?
Sure. So Instagram, I do run a page. It's called Let's Get It Off Our Chest. By all means, you can see a little bit about my story on there. And obviously, if you've got any questions, you can direct message me. I've also got my personal account as well, which is private. But again, if you do send me a message, I will respond. And the same goes with Facebook as well. A lot of the time when, you know, these articles have come out and they're posted into some of the breast implant Facebook groups, it's quite common that I have people reach out and, you know, just start up a conversation. So I'm more than happy to engage and through messages with people. But Instagram and Facebook are the two places that you can find me.
Beautiful. I'll pop the details of all of those in the show notes. When it comes to that Let's Get It Off Our Chest Instagram page, did you want people to get in touch with you because you do share stories on there?
Yeah, that would be really good. I think I do want to start traction up a little bit again, because I know it's not for everyone talking about it. Like, sitting in front of someone like this in a podcast situation, it can be tricky. So if we can kind of do it as a little bit of an article, or, you know, just through messaging, just answer a couple of questions and it can be published. I think by sharing our stories, it helps other people. So definitely, yeah, just send me a message if you want to be a part of that.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for joining me and for everything that you're doing for breast implant illness at the moment, Charlotte. Thank you for taking time out of your maternity leave to chat with us and to share your story.
Thank you for your time, Bianca. And yeah, it's such an important topic that we're speaking about today. So really privileged to be on your podcast.
Thank you. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_i_i_podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for